Well, guys, we're going to get started there in 1 Chronicles 4. Before we do so, January 9th was our 13th year anniversary as a church family. And the first Sunday we met together, it snowed. And it's darn close out there. You know what I'm saying? It's way too cold for this body up here. But nonetheless, 13 years, we are so excited to look back on those years, but also to look ahead at what God has in store for our church family. And I'm thankful for one of those realities being the numerous amount of kids down the hall. Praise the Lord, because I tell you what, there were many a years where we did not have a bunch of little ones running around. And praise God that we have those little ones running around, and we all know that we have our work cut out for us to ensure that they are ready to take the torch onward. You know what I'm saying? Because we ain't all going to be here. I'm just saying, y'all don't sound too excited about that. But we're going to jump in here. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And if you've already started reading, you're probably thinking, what's he going to do, read all these names? No, I'm not, okay? I'm not. But we're going to pick up in 1 Chronicles 4 and in verses 9 and 10. So what you are going to see before we get to verse 9, this is, you know, among other passages where, you know, just lineage is just being named. I mean, people are just being named one after the other in a line, right? And again, some of us, maybe we love reading that. Some of us are like, that's too much for me. I am not going to spend my time reading that. Nonetheless, it was important. It was important then. It's important all the way as we get into the New Testament when we look at the life and the lineage of Jesus, because that mattered, right? Where Jesus came from mattered. And so that was so important to them then. It's important to God. It's naturally why we have it here. But there's this long list of names. And then we get to verse 9. And that's where we're going to pick up. In verse 9 it says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother named him Jabez and said, I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez called out to the God of Israel, if only you would bless me, extend my border, let your hand be with me, and keep me from harm, so that I will not cause any pain. And God granted his request. And then he goes on to keep listing out some names. So you think about it, it's already interesting that the writer here would be listing out names. You think if we just started calling out everybody's name and just listing them out, and then we pause, and my man gets a shout out. Am I right? He gets a shout out. And so in this moment, we have just a glimpse of his life and the Lord's working in it. And so we don't know a whole lot. We don't see much else about him in Scripture. In fact, earlier in 1 Chronicles, there is a people group, like a grouping of people that is named Jabez. And it's a grouping of people, but that's it. We don't have any more information. This is it. This is all we know. And so we're going to jump in this, and I want us to walk through these two verses. And I want to challenge you as we even think of just last week and the concept of just the Lord's working in our life, our commitment to him, seeing him do amazing things in our life. And then that journey that we go on where we start to go, yeah, but I can do it. Right? And so now we're going to get just another little taste of that as an encouragement to us to press on, to ask the Lord to do things in our life and in the life of our church family that only he can do. So let's look at this. Again, starting in verse 9, so it says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And so we see that initially just about his character, who he is, right? That he was honored among them. He had a good reputation. You can even connect as he would go on to pray. You can naturally get some connectivity there of like his connection to who God is. Right, that he was honorable in that way, that he lived out in a different sense there. But then you see his mother's name, or you know, the name that his mother gave him. And what's interesting to me, and your Bible may read different ways, but it says, I gave birth to him in pain. Other translations simply say that his name was Sorrow, Man of Sorrows. There's even in some translations where it just says that it is like literally means pain or suffering. And this is interesting to me. Again, we have all these names that are happening before Jabez and all the names after, right? And we're not getting context of like, well, you know, so-and-so, let's pick somebody. Edom. We don't get like Edom. His name was for blank. We don't get context like that. Do you see what I'm saying? We're not getting any extra context until we get to Jabez. And his means pain. It says that his mother, it was painful when she had him. Now, all the moms in the room say amen, right? It was painful. I don't think we take from this that she's the only one that was like, oh, my baby was painful. And so I'm naming it. It was extra painful. We don't have much context, but it was obviously extra painful. Okay? And just for some connectivity here, in 1 Samuel 25, there's a scenario happening where David gets offended. He's going to go and I'm going to go straight to it. So if you want to look with me, 1 Samuel 25. And so we have this scenario where David has gotten frustrated at Nabal, who is a rich man, and he essentially spouted back to some of David's people, and David's men said, okay, that's it. We're going to just destroy this guy. This is a real summary, okay? Just bear with me. And Nabal's wife comes to David, and I just want to pick up this one piece. She goes to David to try to soften the deal because it's gotten out of control. She doesn't want David to come and do anything. And so in verse 25, she is talking it. So chapter 25, 25. My Lord should pay no attention to this worthless man, Nabal, for he lives up to his name. His name is Nabal. Stupidity is all he knows. Or you may have, you know, that his name was a literal translation of fool, right? Nabal, fool. And so there's even this kind of understanding of like, essentially, as it is, so is he, right? His name was fool, and guess what's already just been assumed of him? Fool, right? Your mom named you fool, she already knows. Right? Some of you, we'd be questioning what your mom named you and what she spoke into existence. Right? That just being more cultural than it is now, you and I don't really name our kids and then have some like statement to follow. Like we don't normally do that. And if we do, it's very positive, right? In this case, there were names that could be placed on you that ultimately are going to somewhat come to fruition. And maybe they don't come to fruition because it's some like, oh, they solved that far out. But sometimes when someone names you something and they speak it over you, what naturally happens? It comes to pass, right? If we don't name our kids something kind of strange and then add something at the end, but we give our kids names. We speak words over them that do matter. And as adults, this is no different for us. You and I right now can think on, if we truly pause to think, we can think on names that were spoken over us that still matter to this day. That still prevent us from maybe some of the things that God has for us because we're still thinking about that label, that name that someone spoke over us at that time. You feel what I'm saying? That's a real thing. And the reality is for some of us, we don't even kind of deal with some of that because I'll say this. When we want to follow what God has for us, when we say, God, like last week. I trust you. You want to do a lot in my life. I want to see you do a lot in the lives of my life, my family, my church. I'm running after you. You know all the evil one and all our sinful flesh has to do to stop that? Speak a name over you. That's it. All that has to happen for you to stop doing what God has called you to do is someone speak a little name over you. And once it's done, it sits there, it resonates. And we will retract back to safety to not have to deal with that name. And in this case, what's unique about Jabez is that it tells us that he was an honorable man. He in essence had kind of overcome that natural stigma. I mean, he was an honorable man. He was doing right. I'd be curious what she named the other kids if they weren't rising to the top. He got the negative name, and I don't know what they got, right? But he's rising to the top. And so it's interesting to me. You already see kind of like, okay, he's overcoming that. He's just speaking that differently even in his own life. But I think for us, before I even continue, it's important before we get to the end of today that you think about those names. That you figure out what it is. Ask the Lord to reveal to you as an adult in this room today, what is something that has been spoken over you, or worse, that we speak to ourselves consistently that is keeping us from what the Lord has for us. And I think the reality is there are many, many of descriptive names that are preventing us from experiencing all that God has for us. So I want you to think on that. Let's look at his prayer. So starting in verse 10, it says, Jabez called out to the God of Israel. And so first and foremost, he knows who the God of Israel is, right? The God of Israel is a covenant-keeping God, right? He makes a promise, he keeps it. This is important, right? Because if you and I are going to call on a God to do something for us, we want to know that he's trustworthy. Do you and I believe, if we believe in our God, who is the same God of Israel, who is the God of covenant and promise, do you and I believe right now that if we pray, we can trust him? Do we believe it? And, you know, we'll sing it and we'll say, yeah. But when we're in the thick of it, do I believe that the God I worship today is the God of covenant, the one that's going to be faithful, the one that is going to see it to its end? I believe if you and I do, we will see him do amazing things. We will see him work in powerful ways in our lives. So he says already, out the bat, he knows he's the God of Israel, the God of covenant, the one who can be trusted. And he says, if only you would bless me. Imagine praying. And let me pause. I don't know if any of you have read the book. There is a book associated with this, okay? The Prayer of Jabez. It's a book. It's a short book. It's an encouraging book. It also can be a little confusing because to some degree, it can be as if someone has taken this prayer and said, if you pray it every day, just like it is, God's going to do something crazy for you. Now, I'm not saying that was his intention, but there's a lot of people that have received, you know, the message and just this prayer as like a quick help, self-help kind of deal. That ain't what it is. That's not what this is. This is not some catch-all, do all the things, pray this prayer over and over and over, and God's going to give you all the things you need. What it is, though, is an example to us. Because regardless of, you know, how we could misapply it, what we have in these two verses is true and real. Because what did it say at the end? God did it. So I'm not in the boat of trying to say, well, no, it don't work. It don't work. It does work. It did work. It's not like you and me, oh, just do this. And so I'm just prefacing that. Okay? But it says, if only you would bless me. Think about praying to God. Would you just bless me? And not just like, oh, would you give me things? But you, as the God of covenant, the creator God of the universe, would you go before me in all my things? Would you grant me favor in all my scenarios? Not so that I would get all that I want, but would you grant me favor so that as I go forth in your name? Right? When I go to battle, can I go to battle knowing that I am not going to battle just with my own strengths, that I'm going to battle with the God of the universe? What if you and I, day in and day out, we knew and we believed and we reminded ourselves and we reminded our kids and we reminded the people around us that we go to battle with the one who don't lose? He says, if only you would bless me. I think about that, and I even as I was just doing some research, just the act of blessing and or cursing, right? And so again, you kind of have that name scenario at the beginning where a pronouncement of almost a curse that can happen to all of us, right? The speaking out over us that says, you're dumb, you're annoying. I mean, you're confused all the time. You're this, you're fat, you're skinny, you're whatever, right? These are things that matter. And in this case, he's saying, would you bless me? Would you pronounce good over me? Would you declare good over me? Would you declare good over all the things that my hand will touch in the days ahead? Not for my sake. Not that I would just get more, not that I would have this for me, but that your name would go before me mightily. Oh, that you would bless me. He says, extend my border. You think of that in many ways. You know, for me, I think how often we get comfortable in our spaces. And we start to navigate our space and we think, if I could just, you know, I've gotten my little space down and I'm going to make it to the end of this race in my space. What if you and I said, expand my territory, God? What if you and I started to think about what we would need for God to do to take us from our little place of comfort to the places where maybe he's calling us to? You ever think? I'm going to tell you, it's hard though. It's hard because we don't want to go further out. We don't want to be extended beyond this. We like the control. But guys, I mean, think even of the Great Commission, okay? That's for you and me, that we would go forth and make disciples of all nations. And look, we don't see any more context of what Jabez did. Do I believe that God answered his prayer? Yeah. He extended his territory. I believe it. Do you and I see this grand, elaborate explanation of everything he conquered? No. We don't see it. So we don't know what expand the territory is going to look like. But am I willing? Am I willing to trust that maybe outside of my little comfort zone that God wants to do a work in another person's life that is going to radically change a whole people group? Do we believe and do we ask God to extend our area of influence? Again, not for ourselves. Not so that we can be big. Not so that we can be elaborate. Not so that Lake Sharon Community Church be known by the world. But so that the name of God and the gospel message would go forth in places that you or I could not reach on our own. We want to be doing things. We want to be asking God to do things that only he can do. Take me further than I can go on my own. That's the message there, right? Take me further than I can go on my own. He goes on to say, let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will not cause any pain. Let your hand be with me. Again, think about who he's called on. The mighty hand of Creator God going before me. Do you and I enter into the things that we experience on a daily basis knowing that we can call on God and he is able in the moment? Do we believe it? 2 Timothy 4:18, it tells us the Lord will rescue me from every evil work and bring me safely home. Do we believe it? Do we believe that God can protect us from all the things, maybe the temptations, maybe the evil things, maybe things that people are doing to us around us, whatever it is, do we believe that God is able to keep us safe, to take us where he wants to take us? Or are we so worried that the world is going to wreck all the things we hold dear? And therefore, we cling it all real tight and we stay hunkered down. What is it? Are we willing to step out and step forward with our family and give our families the confidence that is repeated right here that God is with us? Isaiah 41:10, he says, do not fear, I am with you. Do not be afraid, I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand. John 10:28, I will give them eternal life. No one will snatch them out of my hand. No one. And so again, you think even the labels, the names that we speak over ourselves, some of the reasons why we don't ask the Lord to do a mighty work in and through us is because the things that we think we have just been so wrecked by cannot be redeemed, cannot be used by God. And they hold us back. And look, he's even saying like, hey, if they're mine, nobody is snatching them out of my hand. There is nothing that you are going to do. There is nothing that you are going to, you know, wander off and get yourself caught up in that God is not going to come and snatch you back up. And do we believe that? Do we believe that God is able to guard us and keep us in those times? Or do we just try to revert from anything that feels dangerous or needs more faith? He goes on to say, so that I will not cause any pain. And some, it even says that that he would not experience pain, depending on your translation. And you think of that, and I find that so interesting. Again, the connectivity we have, again, all we've read is just names before this and after this. And so we have this, so we have so much extra context, and yet we really don't have a whole lot of context. And yet, at the beginning of it, it tells us that his name means pain and sorrow. And at the end of his singular prayer that is recorded, it's that he would be kept from pain, that he would not cause pain. And so I think about those things that are names for us, the things that are holding us back. And would we believe, again, that we could speak those out to God and that God would change that trajectory for us? I mean, Saul, you look at Saul and you look at the reality that, I mean, that was just a literal name change. But God took somebody that was doing something crazy and said, I'm making you new. Here's your new name. And he goes and does everything that God has called him to do. And so I think as he finishes his prayer, there's this interconnectivity to what is almost like, don't let this be true of me. Don't let me experience pain. Don't let my sin lead me to pain. Don't let evil come upon me, right? Let this be different. And y'all, God granted his request. So this seems so simple. And again, this is not like do these checks and then it'll all work out. But guys, God will take our lives where we are right now. And as we are willing to ask him, he will do. And I think about, I really do, and I'm sorry to harp on this a little bit. But I just don't think we're good at addressing this. I do not think we as adults are good at dealing with the labels people have placed on us and the impact that there is as a result of that. And I'll tell you right now, our kids are going to suffer because of that. Your adult kids are going to suffer because of that. Your grandkids are going to suffer because of that. Your great-grandkids are going to suffer because of that. Because those things are so deep-rooted that if any of us in this room really were thinking on them, we would be trying to hold back from crying. Because it matters. And that label is either going to, in his case, again, I know we don't live in this as a society today, but it really did matter. I mean, there was names placed on people that it mattered. It mattered what was spoken over them, and that truly came to pass in many ways. And he could have just sat in that and said, it is what it is. But he prayed. You see what I'm saying? He prayed. What does James chapter 5 say? It tells us that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful in its working. Right? He prayed that there would be no rain. No rain. He prays that there be rain. Rain. Now, does it happen in our timing? No. Does it take a lot for us to keep going and to seek the Lord continuously on the things that feel like there is no movement? Yeah. But he's the God of covenant. He can be trusted. Right? In Matthew, what does it tell us that we can ask, right? In fact, we should ask, seek, knock. It goes on to say that, I mean, a good father, I mean, just any of us as good fathers, as good mothers, if someone asked for a piece of bread, would we give them a rock? I don't know, would we? No. We wouldn't give them a rock. Maybe. It depends on their attitude, I guess. My daughter eats rocks anyway, so. But, right, he says, I mean, if they ask for a fish, you give them a snake. No. It says your Father in heaven loves to give good gifts. And think the reality is we talked, I know I got a little sidetracked on the name deal, but it's just, it matters so much to me because God has named us his children. The finished work of Christ granted us the adoption as sons and daughters of the God we sing and talk about. That needs to trump every name anybody has ever spoke over you. That needs to just put those things to bed. And I say, the reality is, guess what? There's a lot that's not put to bed. It is holding us back. I believe the church in America is, I mean, really, we say all the time, we want revival, we want revival, we want revival. I'm telling you, God is not going to do that. God is not going to do that work when ultimately we're still sitting back and we cannot get over the things someone has said or the things we are saying. the things we're waking up and we may not verbally say out loud, but we are saying to ourselves. And God wants to do, I mean, look, it tells us God granted his request that he would bless him, that he would extend his border, that his hand would be with him, that he would keep him from harm. God granted his request. That's one example. That's one tiny example in all of Scripture that the God of the universe knows your name. He knows the hairs on your head, or not on your head, for some of you. He knows them deep follicles. Oh my gosh. Lord, give them hair. He knows. Right? And, I mean, the power that is in our asking, the power in us communicating with him, that we would break free from those things and even just ask him to just do a mighty, mighty work in our lives. I don't know about you, but it gets, I mean, if you've been in church a long time, it gets hard. It's almost like the longer you're in church, the harder it is. And it shouldn't be that way, but it sometimes is. There's that comfort, there's that, and again, there's even things that church people have spoken over people that's just wrong. It's just not true. He granted his request. Do you hear me? And I want us as a church family, I want us as individuals to know what God has done in our life. And if we've been around this a long time, then let it be a reminder to you today that there's only one name hovering over you. There's only one label that's hovering over you if the blood of Jesus has saved you. There's nothing else. And by the way, when you tell yourself later that, well, I'm just going to go back to the same thing. I just do the same things. I still did this. I still do this. I still do that. Be quiet. Just stop. And ask God. Ask God to do a work in your heart. He is a good Father. There is not a single moment in Scripture that we are seeing him pronounce something contrary to what he desires over someone. I mean, get that out of here. And if we're going to say that the blood of Jesus has rescued and redeemed us, guys, I want our prayers to be powerful. I want them to be on the foundation of what we know to be true of God and believe that he will actually answer. That he can redeem the areas of our life that ultimately what I'm saying to you is holding us back from doing the things God has called us to do. I want us ready. I want us willing and able to do the things God calls us to do without fear, without shame, without guilt, without any of those things, because I believe that he wants to do them. I give you another example of just, because we don't see the impact of Jabez's life and, you know, who he encountered or what he did and all that. But in Acts, when Saul got his eyes covered up and he starts to encounter Jesus and he goes and he sits and he's praying and his eyes are all covered up and he can't see. It says that God spoke to someone in that town, Ananias. And he said to him, Ananias, and essentially he says, yes, Lord. And he says, I want you to go to this place right here, look for this guy, and I want you to pray for him. And by the way, this is the only moment Ananias has. You hear me? It's the only moment he has. This one. And in fact, when God said, hey, I want you to go to this place, talk to this guy, he says, are we talking about the same guy? Because that guy kills people like me. And he says, essentially, yes. And so he goes. And he prays for him. And literally, Saul, I mean, God said, like, he's going to know that there's a guy named Ananias coming. He's going to pray. And here we are. And he does that. And look at the impact now Paul has had on history. And Ananias was just this little bump in the road. Guys, I want all of us to be little bumps in the road. I want us to be, I want us to not have any of the things that would hold us back. And I want us to be okay with that be the extension of our border and be the things that we've been praying. Oh, God, do a work in my life. And it just said one. Would it be okay? Or do we believe, do we trust God that that's going to be good? It don't got to turn out like we think. In fact, let's pray it don't. Because our plans, they're not as good. They are not as good. And so guys, I hope that you are encouraged to think on this little moment in Scripture. I hope it challenges you to think about the names pronounced over you and what God wants to speak over you and ways in which those things that maybe haven't been dealt with are preventing you from experiencing all that God has for you. Which ultimately means maybe some of those in your family, some of those people at work that you've been like, I want to minister to them. Maybe there's something that's keeping you from that. Oh, that God this morning would reveal that to us. And he would speak over us what is true in his eyes. I pray that we as a church family would go forth in this, not seeking to just regurgitate this prayer in hopes that it just solves all our problems, but that we would be challenged to pray intentionally, that we would be challenged to pray that God would do a work that only he can do. And that we would trust that he is able to do it. Let's pray.